Hello, family. I'm Matt and I'm Susie. Wow. Okay. Step one, step five. I think the first thing that comes to my mind when step four is mentioned is courage. Peeling the onion, talked about in the book. Letting God do for me what I can't do for myself. I think that probably my two favorite, my biggest problem with fourth, fifth step were fear. And I imagine every addict has that problem. And my sponsor told me, there's two definitions of fear, and that's, fuck everything and run, or face everything and recover. And for me, step four and step five were the most awesome freedom. Probably every step to me, it has a sense of freedom, but it was just an awesome sense of freedom. And the thing is that the first four step I did in treatment. It was one of those 28-day treatment programs, and they wanted you to have so many steps completed before you could leave. And I was nowhere ready to do. I was doing good just to not meet. And but I, did the same thing I've done all through my life in active addiction, and that was bullshit. The counselor and told her what she wanted to hear, and skin the surface, basically. I did my second step in penitentiary with a chaplain, and I was still full of a lot of denial, and even though he was a chaplain, there were certain things that I just didn't think I could say. I didn't think I could tell him, and to be honest, I would, denial kept me from doing a thorough four step. And until I realized that denial wasn't so much that I'd lied to all of you, was that I had been lying to myself for so long and making so many excuses for my behavior and blaming everyone else. And I was blessed enough to be paroled to my sponsor when I got out of prison, and she made me start the steps all over again. And so I did a very searching and fearless four step to the best of my ability. I know that for me it took trust. I had to trust in her. I had to have trust in her, and I had to have faith in the program. And at this time, I was so beaten and just done. I was just absolutely done. It took losing everything, everybody in my life, going to the penitentiary. I went into the penitentiary with 5 months clean. And almost losing one of my arms, to finally surrender and get honest about just who Susie was. And so the fourth step I did with my sponsor, I still had some hesitations about putting these things out online for her and had all those things going on that we have going on, and that was that everything I've done has had to have been worse than anything else anybody else has done. And I was full of ism in me, it wasn't that it was worse than anyone else had done, it was the fact that I had done it. I was still full of that ego. And I think that probably the neatest thing that happened was that my sponsor said to me, She said, you know, I heard this joke. There was a little nun that had just gotten into the convent, and about 2 weeks after she was there, these strong sexual desires came over her, and she was very ashamed, and she prayed, and nothing happened, and she went upstairs to Mother Superior and knocked on the door and went in and told her, said, I'm sorry, but I'm having these strong sexual desires, and I can't get rid of them. And she said, I want you to go back downstairs, I want you to get in front of your mirror, and I want you to take off all your clothes and go bang. And she did it, and it was gone. And this lasted for about 2 weeks, and about 2 weeks later it came upon her again, only twice strong. She went up to Mother Superior, knocked on the door, and said, it's back, and it's worse. And she said, go downstairs, take all your clothes off, get in front of the mirror, and say, bang, bang. So she did that. Sure enough, it was gone. It stayed gone for probably 3 months, but about 3 months later it came back, and it came back with a vengeance. And she went back up to Mother Superior's office, and when she got there this time, Mother Superior's door was ajar just a little bit. She kind of peeked in there and she seen Mother Superior standing in front of the full little mirror, going, So anyway, Karen says, I don't know what Susie, I believe me, she shared with me, and it's important that your sponsor shares their experience, strength, and hope with you during the fourth step. Or anxious step, because I'm going to run them right in together here. You know, and the thing of it is that I had to remember that Karen's an addict just like me. And you know, and that's another thing I think is real important, that we don't put our sponsors on a pedestal. They're addicts, they're humans, and you know, I've known many people who have had sponsors relapse and they lose hope. So it's just real important, I think. I want to stress that, not to put your sponsor on a pedestal, you know, and remember that it's just someone who believes in you on a daily basis and wants to help you in your recovery. You know, this positive and negative inventory was hard for me. Because I could think of no positive things about myself. Nothing. Karen made it easy for me, and she said, what I want you to do is, and these liabilities, these things that you see wrong about yourself, I want you to ask yourself about every one of them, would you do this today? Would you act out on about this today? And I wouldn't. And so, you know, I had to take baby steps. I wasn't going to lie and write down a bunch of good things about me that I did not believe. But the steps helped me to find out that there are a lot of good things about me. The guilt and shame kept me in a self-made prison. And when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, y'all told me that I was basically smothering out the sunlight, you know, from my spirit. It talks about it in the book. You know, page 29 of basic text says that the pain of doing the step is less than the pain of not doing it. And I can understand that today. I'm on step 10 now, and I already feel I need to do another 4, because new things have surfaced. I've come a little bit further out of that denial. You know, and I had a kid come into the program one time at 17 years of age and stayed clean until he was 23. And it so happened he was in a meeting one night, and I was at the same meeting. We happened to be on the same step, and I was in a lot of pain. And he told me, Susie said, just remember, on the other side of pain is growth. He said, just get there. And I remembered that. I'm real sad to say that last year he relapsed, and he's still out there. But he knows where we're at. You know, he knows where we're at. You know, and another thing my sponsor really emphasized with me was to not focus so much on the fear of doing the four step, but to focus on how much courage it takes to do it. And it does take courage to do it. For me, step four was tearing down an old foundation so that I could start building a new foundation. And how it works and why it talks about our experience in the fellowship has shown us that sooner or later, this is scary, sooner or later, members who do not work this crucial step relapse. That scares shit out of me. I don't know about anybody else, but that scares me. It says everything, it also says on that same page, it says everything that we use to mask with our self-deception and drug use is going to be diminished. Not gone. I'm not going to bullshit you. But it will diminish, you know. And the only way I can explain it is that sledgehammer of suffering that we create within ourselves and we created through our active addiction, as we do the steps, and especially 4 and 5, become a dull thud. I mean, they're still there, and it talks about in book 2 how we need to remember those things. You know, we need to remember them, not dwell on them, but remember them. And eventually it's not even a thud, it's something that I have to recall. And that's a neat thing. That's a neat thing. It's not, I deal with it. It doesn't deal with me. And that's not always the case, because things happen in my life and I have to go back there. Another thing that was hard for me to understand when I'd done step 4 was the nature of my wrongs. It was easy for me, just like it was easy for me to sit with a needle in my arm and tell you that I knew I was addicted. Wasn't going to tell you how unmanageable my life was. I could tell you that I was a liar, I was a thief, I was a cheat, I was a bad mother. I could tell you all those things, but when it came to the fact that I harmed people, places, and things, I harmed a lot of people. I done damage to a lot of places, and I done damage to a lot of things. When I had to look at that, it was an awakening for me. And what it did was I started to identify the patterns of my behavior. The patterns of my behaviors were means and ways of getting more. Because I lived to use and used to live. You know, that's what life was all about for me. You know, it wasn't about picking supper, it wasn't about driving the kids, being kind of functioning, it wasn't about any of those things. That all was last. I done those things because I felt like I had to. I did things like steal my dad's pain medication when he was dying of cancer. I did things like spent money my mother left me to bury her by drugs. These aren't things that I can say, well, it's because I was an addict. That's bullshit. I have to take responsibility for my addiction today. Just like I take full responsibility for my recovery. I wouldn't have this recovery if it wasn't for my Narcotics Anonymous, if it wasn't for the steps. Step 5, I'm going to go on into step 5, and for me it's trusting God, trusting my sponsor, and the process of the program, because it is a process within a process. You find that out when you get up to 8 and 9. I don't know about anybody else, but when I got up to 8 and 9, after doing 4 and 5, I found out that all those things I'd written in 4 and 5, all those resentments I thought I had, became my immense list. And if you had told me that before, I would have told you, there is no way. Because there's just some people, you know, and then I finally found out that it's not about other people, it's about Susie. The fourth fifth step took me out of the role of being a victim. Because I was, you know, when I did the first two, it was that if they hadn't done this or they hadn't done that. And, you know, counselor and treatment told me if and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. And there wasn't, you know, anything past that bullshit. It was about me, nothing else. And on page 50, on how why love means green is what I call it. I love that book. Talks about bravery, demonstrated in taking the step, not being lack of fear, but by the action we take in spite of the fear. Bravery demonstrated in taking the step, not being lack of fear, but by action we take in spite of our fear. Action. I have to take action. That's what I have to tell myself about that courage. I have to gain that courage and tell myself that courage is stronger than fear. I have a choice. I can be afraid or I can be strong. You know, just like we have that choice to use. You know, we have those choices today. You know, and the fifth step is about admission. And for me, the most important admission I had to make was to myself. I had to stop the lying, stop the sugarcoating, stop the candy-coating, stop justifying, rationalizing, and blaming everybody and everything else. You know, I had a messed up childhood. I was molested, and I can go on and on like many addicts can. Many people, but it has nothing to do with me today. I can use it as an excuse if I want to. And remain that victim. I'm a survivor. One day at a time with a program in Narcotics Anonymous. If I don't pick up today, I'm a survivor. You know, I think it's important to make sure that the person who listens to your fifth step is very familiar with the process. Very familiar with the process. and know about the eighth and ninth step. I think it's very important. On page 52 in the Green Book, it says, this step is not a quick fix. It awakens our spirits, not dead in our feelings. You know? And that's, you know, to bring that stuff out into the light of day. You know? I've kept mine in the dark like a mushroom and said, well, bullshit all the time. I mean, for years. I walked into my first meeting in Narcotics Anonymous 18 years ago. Because of you people and the God of my understanding, January 31st of this year, I hadn't had to pick up, you know, 6 years. You know, and another thing that's really important to me is the third step prayer through this step, the beginning of this step. And that pain of becomes so great in the middle of the step to do the third step prayer. You know, that's what it's all about. Take my will, my life, and guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live. Show me how to live clean. Because I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. No. Y'all are teaching me how to do that. Because I couldn't do it alone. And I don't have a $20 bill in because I took my money all out to the car, but if I had a $20 bill and I put it in my hand and smashed it up, how much would that $20 bill be worth? $20. If I scrunched it up and threw it on the floor and rubbed it in the dirt, how much did that $20 bill be worth? A lot. I can take that $20 and rip it in pieces. And how much is that $20 bill worth? A lot. And so are you. You're worth everything that you are and everything that you want to become. We've been stomped on and we've put ourselves there, torn up, rotted up, thrown away, but we're still just like that $20 bill, that our value, and we, as we do the steps, basically 4 and 5 for me, you know, 4 and 5 for me was very painful. And the, you know, in the step guide, it talks about what reservation do you have about doing this step? Fear. And the fear I had was the pain. You know, and then after I did it, it was like, I'd worked for a doctor from age 5, and I'd come home from that doctor's office because I'd been on my feet all day, I'd sit down on the couch in that little apartment, and it was so cool and comfortable. And I think, oh, I need to get into that shower. It feels so good. But I know, because I've taken showers time and time and time again, that once I get through that shower, I'm going to feel like a brand new person. But it's just getting from that couch into that damn shower. You know? That's what it's about for me. You know, put my house in order. Put my house in order. You know, it talks a lot in the book about that we need to tell God, and we do need to tell God, but it's not for God's benefit, because He doesn't know everything we did. No. It's because it brings us closer to God. Because we're not only talking to God and telling Him about all these things that we did, we ask God, forgive us. So for me, this was another one of those roads to that closer contact with God, my understanding. And, I can't emphasize with you enough to be sure that the person you do your fifth step with know the process, know Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, the thing is, you know, when we first came to the program, when I first came to the program, I was always hearing these things about, I'll be taking people's inventory. I'll be taking people's inventory. Well, today, I tell you what, I have to in order to find a good sponsor. You know, I have to. It's a kind of inventory I take. Yeah. It's the kind of inventory I take. Not the judgmental kind. You know, that trying to have trust and believe and be around somebody and listen to them and know that I want what they have. And I'd like to say thank you for helping me find a new way of life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. I'd like to introduce the second speaker. Have him down here is the name of Bill A. from the Lost and Found Group of NA in the Baltimore area of NA.
Hi, my name is Bill. Nice to hear you. I'm a little nervous. I don't know why. Such a big crowd, I guess. But I anticipated it wouldn't be a real big crowd. keep it down a little bit. I know some people that are up here. None of them are in the room. I don't know if that makes it good or bad, but I'm here, and that's what I'm supposed to do. So it's always an honor to be asked to speak at any Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I'd like to thank the committee for asking me.
I got clean in 1988.
I was 26. I just turned 40. Been clean for a while. And I had a lot of ups and downs. It was interesting to hear you talk about treatment, the 28-day treatment center. I was fortunate enough to go through a 28-day treatment center, and I looked at those steps up on the wall, and I'm thinking, okay, first step, yeah, I can do that. Second step, yeah, I can do that. First step, God, no problem. That fourth step, I was like, no way. I don't know how people do that in their first 30 days. I don't know. I guess it's possible. But I came around here for years, and I heard people talk about the steps, but I heard people talk about the fourth step and the fear that they had about doing it, how overwhelmed they were, and I guess some people did talk about the relief after they actually did it, but I didn't hear those people when I was new. All I heard was, I'm overwhelmed with this, and I'm in pain, and I'm in fear, and I guess that's what I wanted to hear. We'll talk a little bit about my early recovery just because it has a bearing on I think the person that I've become. And I did work some steps when I was very, very new in recovery, about a year clean, up to the first year, about a year and a half clean, actually. I was like 13 months clean. I hadn't dated anybody. I hit my year clean, and I thought, well, where is she? Right? Logical thought. I hear this wait 1 year stuff, and not soon after that, my first year, she came to me. She had 2 weeks clean. She was very aggressive. Well, okay, I'll say it was me, but that's the way I remember it. And I heard introduce her to women, and she's a newcomer, and I fought it very briefly. 5 months later, we got married. 9 months later, my daughter was born. My daughter's 11 now. I've been divorced about 6 years now. So I got married in early recovery. It didn't work out. The reason I talk about that is because half of my recovery was through that period. What happened for me when I got married, I had already had more clean time than I'd ever had in my life. Somebody actually wanted to marry me, which was a new thing. And, we got married, we bought a new house, we bought a brand new house, we had two cars in the driveway, we had her son and then our daughter and a puppy, and, I had like everything I had ever dreamed of. And, we didn't have the white picket fence, but everything else. And I'll say I got well. I thought, okay, I have all this stuff. Why do I need to do any more? And needless to say, what happened for me is I jumped around different sponsors. I went to meetings for a while. I went a month of not going to meetings. I mean, I'm talking, I'm like a year or two clean, and I'm playing this game. And I went through a number of different sponsors, and when you talk about a fourth step, what I did with the fourth step through the first 7 years I was clean was talk about it. Talk about I'm going to do it, promise, my sponsor promised, my ex-wife, ex is a significant part of that, that I was going to do it. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that. I'm sure it happens. You know, what I did was, you know, I played this game. I didn't want to do anything. Didn't want to do any work. And what happened for me was, the friends that I had developed in my first couple of years of recovery started to go away. You know, I went to meetings occasionally, I was married. I didn't need all this stuff. And I knew that I still needed to go to meetings, so I did. Anyways, I got really miserable. And the marriage ended. So I came to a point at the end of the marriage where I still hadn't ever done a four step. I did the first couple steps in my first year or two cleaning. And this is not suggested at all. I mean, I was 7 years clean before I worked the four step. Not the littlest bit suggested, you know. I was in tremendous pain because of it. So if you want to be in pain, do it the way I did.
Okay.
Anyways, I came out of the marriage and I was in a place, and I was in a place that I'm sure, I guess, people that are using get to, and some people in recovery get there too, where I was just in such incredible pain that I felt like I had, you know, two, three choices. I could kill myself, I could get high, or I could do something different. And what I did was I got a new sponsor. I had a lot of free time. I really didn't have anything much to do, you know. So I got a new sponsor, and I actually started to do some work. I started to do a lot of work. I got a few sponsees, and I got a new sponsor. And in the 11th step, in the basic text of the writing, it talks about nature. I guess the phrase says, we blossom in recovery. And that's exactly what happened to me. I came alive, and I started to grow, and I started to have a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm for recovery, for life, because I was actually doing something to feel better about me. One of the things, and the guys that I sponsor over the years, I've gone through this, and I guess I really just need to feel myself say this. But I'm sure you can relate to it. One of the things that I try to point out, I guess numerous times, is in writing steps, it's about progress. It's not about getting it done in a week or getting it done in a month. Some people have guidelines where they set specific time frames. For me, it's about making progress. And if I'm going home and I'm picking up a pen and I'm just answering one question every day, it's about moving forward. You've heard that before, okay? You know, and eventually when you start to answer one, you say, well, okay, I'll just answer two, you know, and I start to feel better. The fourth step that I did the first time was not, obviously not a step guide, because it wasn't around, but it was just a sheet with a lot of questions, and I'll say it was very thorough. You know, I'm sitting here listening, and at least a lot of things started to pop up. I remember doing it. I remember obviously having a lot of fear about doing it. But as I was doing it, I started that coming home, just doing a little bit each day, moving forward. I started to feel better. And what I was told as I was doing it is, you know, this is all stuff. Every bit of my four step is all stuff I've already done. So, am I afraid of what I've already done? I don't know. Why be afraid of something that really is history? It's just about getting it written out and, you know, obviously looking at who you were. And if I don't look at who I was, then I really can't even look at who I want to become. So it's about moving forward, obviously. I remember, actually, when I finished my first four step, New Year's Eve, they have like a New Year's dance and stuff. I actually didn't go to the dance. I stayed home New Year's Eve and spent like 4 hours finishing it because I had an appointment. A sponsor made an appointment with me for me to have it done. He was pushing there at the end a little bit, you know, and he was New Year's Day. You know, I didn't look at my fourth step before I came here, so I really can't tell you what I wrote. Although I know all of it. I know who I was. I know how I was acting. To make a searching and fearless inventory. I think the one point that I think many people overlook over as they're doing it, I guess especially if we're living in so much fear, as much fear as I was, is that I actually do have assets also. You know, what I looked at is I looked like a bad person, I did this, I did that. You know, what kind of morals do I live with? And, you know, as I talk about this, I want to jump to like a sixth step and a ninth step and move through, but I'll try to keep it right here. I've actually been able to do, I've done two four steps, and what I know, and I have one sponsor that he wanted to be thorough. You know, you see this searching and fearless moral inventory. The searching part kind of throws people sometimes, and he wanted to be thorough, and he had another sponsor that was even worse than him that just wanted to like write 2 and 3 pages on one question, and you know, it was like, don't do this to yourself. And the thing I point out, and I guess I didn't even know it until I had already done it, was that I write a fourth step, and whatever I miss, I get to write about it on the next fourth step. So as I started to push him through the fourth step and try to get it done to move on, I mean, it was about, don't worry about what you missed. Don't worry about a piece somewhere that you think you forgot. And the same thing with the ninth step. When I did a ninth step, yeah, did it anyway, right? the first time I did a ninth step, I put everything I could think about on it. The second time I did it, a lot more came up. So, as I get to thinking clearer about me and about what I'm doing and how I'm acting, I start to see the world a little more differently. After I did the fourth step, besides the fact that I had get to feel like I finally accomplished something, rather than spinning wheels for so many years. First thing I did was call my ex-wife and told her, right? No. I'll say I was proud of myself that I had accomplished something. And, you know, I believe my sponsor said the same thing. You know, I'm happy that you decided to move forward and do something for yourself. And one thing that he said he said it, and I'm going to see if I can say it exactly the way he said it, but I'll try. Anyways, what he said was, now that you've written it, we've talked about it, you get to own all of it. You know, it is, we've talked about it, you own what you did, and you move on. And That was a significant statement for me, just to realize that I don't have to live in my past. I don't have to live in all that stuff. You know, it's not who I am today. And one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking, it is truly an honor to be able to do a fifth step with someone. Of course, I didn't know that until I actually was able to do it. And the first sponsee that I did it with, I didn't tell him it was my first time. You know, I just felt like I didn't want to scare him. I told him afterwards, right? Did you know? But I just did exactly what my sponsor did. You know, my sponsor shared about his fourth step with me when I was doing mine, and that's exactly what I did with my sponsees. And everything worked out. I think any fourth step is significant, that when you're doing the work and you actually move through it, any part of it is significant. For me, the one that I think about more is my second one, because it was a focused fourth step on relationships. Just relationships, and I got to, and I say this, and I don't know what people are afraid I'm going to say, but I got to write about, I chose to write about every sexual relationship I've ever had, and I actually remembered like all but one of their names. Some of them were, you know, one night, of course, but you know, I actually remembered every one of their names, and. Not that it doesn't have a lot of significance, you know, that, okay, I've had sex before, okay, doesn't have a lot of significance. What the significance for me was, is as I was writing through all this, you know, you write about them and then you take these, the one night ones separate, and you look at the ones that were actually relationships, and I look at how I actually participated in them. What level of participation did I actually have? And for me, what I identified, and this is really the significant part for me, is I identified where the fear comes. Like before I say, I love you, or when I actually start to care about this person for more than just sex, you know, and those points start, the feelings start to come, I start to get overwhelmed, you know, oh my God, you know, and all that. But I'm sure everyone has them. For me, I think it was just significant to be able to identify what I was feeling and how I was feeling it. And the only reason I was able to do that is because I was doing some work. And I guess every person, when you do steps, every person is going to get different points of growth out of each one. Any way you look at it, I think one of the most important things for me is whatever I'm working on, I always have an opportunity to do it again, either share it with my sponsor or write about it again myself. So if I start to get bogged down, I've had people call me and I say, just skip the question, finish the fourth step, and we'll come back to it later. You know, you can't get through it, let's just move on. It's not interesting. Let's get down to reality. I'm 14 years clean. I haven't written any steps in about 2 years. I've been living off of what I know. I needed having a topic that I could speak about my experience very easily. I could speak about my experience, which makes it very comfortable. But I've gotten myself to that point again that I talked about at 7 years clean, where I back myself into a corner. I get myself in a lot of pain. And I'm not even in a relationship or anything like that. I've done it all by myself, by not being willing to pick up a pen, not being willing to participate in the relationship with my sponsor. So I went and got a new sponsor.
Right?
That works. Still haven't really been yourself into a corner by not doing the things that are suggested. You know, pray, don't pick up, go to meetings. I was listening to a tape on the way up here, and you know, the guy talked about that, and he talked about being involved, you know, being active, participating in other people's lives. And I've kind of pulled back from that. I still have a couple of sponsees, but I've pulled myself back. And what I've gotten myself to, I just celebrated my anniversary like a week and a half ago. And I think I shocked some people because I talked about how much pain I've been in. And it has nothing to do with the four step. It has to do with willingness. And interesting to hear you share just because of where I've been. We grow through pain and recovery. And I know why I'm here. I'm here so that I can look at myself and what I've been doing. And I was real happy to come here because I need a little push, you know. And not that I don't know what to do. I'm pretty clear on what I need to do. I just talked to a friend of mine before the meeting, and although I'm clear on what I need to do, I've heard it all for years. I've heard this is what you do, and this is how you do it, and I know all that stuff. It's about becoming willing to do something different. And I don't know. Anybody has any input on that? Talk to me after the meeting. That's about all I have to share.
Thank you, Bill. Close out the workshop. This has been awesome. I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us, Susie S. and Bill A. Could I get somebody up here to read just for today, please?